was that? Out west, I think, somewhere. I'm not real sure. It was a... Yes, ma'am.
There was a sticker on the back of a car when I was coming to church that said, police lives matter, criminals not so much.
Yeah. And it's a pre-made sticker?
Yeah, it was... Well, it was... It covered the whole back of his window.
Oh, he had it made up then.
Of the car.
There you go.
Criminals not so much.
Guard your steps when you go into the house of God, says Solomon. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. What do you got up? Are you King James or International?
I got New International. You want King James?
You go King James, and that way we've got both of them at the same time. And you may, we may just keep flashing back and forth. Guard your steps when you go in the house of God. Now remember, this was written in the latter days of Solomon's life. And in it, we see a very... I want to say almost a resentful, a self-loathing, criticizing person who realized he wasted a lot of his time, a lot of his effort. So what he's trying to do now is, I do believe, give advice to others not to make the mistakes that he made. And isn't that part of our life, to try to... I mean, that's why we have road signs, you know, black ice ahead or curve or something like that. And it's good to give advice to others. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. The temple was finished. It had been built during Solomon's reign. And evidently was not always used for a house of worship. We have rules at this congregation on what our buildings can be used for. There will not be a lottery game or anything like that where gambling takes place or commerce takes place that would be harmful to the name of Jesus. And so it seems like that in this event here, that there was these type of things going on in the kingdom. Guard your steps. Go near to listen rather than offer sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. In front of the temple, there was a big, huge altar. Temple grounds. If you can, Solomon's temple grounds. There was a big, huge altar. And there the sacrifices would take place. You got the new ones. Put Solomon's temple, if you wouldn't. And maybe just Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple. Starts with an S, that's all I know. A lot of help. Okay, you got to overhead it all that you can blow up. Try that one right there. You see what it shows you. Yeah, please. Well, he's thinking like me, folks. You are in so much trouble.
Oh, boy.
Okay, here we go. That's a good one right here. Notice, now this is significant. Seven steps, then this is called the Solomon's courtyard. He talks about the colonnades where Jesus spoke and where Peter and John spoke. This is that area. The inside was a huge bronze altar. And this was called the Bronze Sea. This is one that had the 12 oxen all facing forward, their backsides all together, and a big bowl was on top of it that they figure held thousands of gallons of water. Well, if you take an oxen that's at least 6 foot long, two of them together means it's 12 foot round. So you take a 12 foot round bowl, there ain't no 12 foot round bowls in here.
Just me.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, a bowl that would fit from this table over. Pretty good size. You fill it full of water, even if it was just a couple inches deep, which was more than that. A whole lot of water. So there's where the water would be. And they would come and offer the sacrifice and would burn the sacrifices here. And anybody could offer one. If you remember back, we go to the book of Matthew, I think it was, It talks about the first story of the birth in the New Testament is not Jesus' birth. It's John the Baptizer's birth, if you remember that. And his father, Zechariah, had been down serving his term as a priest at the temple. There were that many of the priests, and they would take a rotation. We don't know if it was a monthly type of a thing or what, but they would come here and they would work this area. Now, only the men could be in this area, only the high priest could be in the Holy of Holies at all. But anybody could bring in a sacrifice to the altar. So he says, go in to listen, for there would be teachers around there. When we hear about Jesus teaching at the temple, we hear about Peter and John teaching at the temple. It was not unusual for the teachers, the scribes, the teachers, to come up and read or to discuss issues all around that area. It was not a fixed time of worship. They would have fixed time of the grand sacrifices, but not of the worship. So, oh, there you go. Now, I don't know. That looks awful big. Unless those are miniature. Those aren't 6 foot long, or that thing would be 25 foot tall. Give me a trick film series, one of them. Dick, look in your computer and type up how large was the what do they call it, the sea.
Oh, the Bronze Sea.
The Bronze Sea. That would give us some information. Back it down.
How about that one?
See, that shows that those are miniatures. So I may be wrong when I said it was 6 foot. Whatever it is, it looks big to me. Let us know, Dick, what you find out when you get there. Give us your full report, please. Go near to listen. That's the purpose, is to learn. Not to offer sacrifice to fools. Anybody can take a pair of doves or an animal, a lamb or something, to be sacrificed. Anybody can do that. But are they sincere when they do it? I mean, when I grew up, when I'm trying to grow up, we would have very few ball games on TV. But I noticed two things in baseball games and in basketball games, that either the people would come up and they'd do this. And my brother said, what are they doing? I said, well, he's either going to pinch hit or shoot a free throw. And if you watch that on TV, a lot of the ball players, that's just a ritual habit. Yep. Chuck.
Yeah, I got it here.
Go for it.
It says the basin was 5 cubits, which is 8.6 feet high, and had a circumference of 30 cubits, 51 feet.
So it is that big. I bought 12 foot, 51 feet. Wow. That took a couple bucket loads. Does it say the depth? Or is that the depth, 8.5 feet?
That was the depth. 8.6 feet was the depth.
Wow. I wouldn't know how you calculate that much water, but it'd be a lot. So it is that big. Thank you. Now they're showing a priest there. I tell you one thing, them old things could walk, they'd take up some space. It looked like here, now I've never seen this picture, but it looked like here he's getting a download of water. Is that coming out of the animal's mouth? That looked like some kind of...
The one above it too. Back
to
the...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Like it's poured into it.
You know what? What's up above it? Come on. That looked like something you see in Vegas. Spewing
like
of
a cloud.
It says that it was, it contained 2,000 to 3,000 baths of water.
A bath is what, a gallon and a half? There's a term in there will tell you what a bath is. So here you go. But don't offer a sacrifice to fools. Learn something. Gain something from it. Who do not know what they do wrong? Some people just... Church is a ritual. Now, we do things in order here. We're orderly. But it's not a ritual. If when I was growing up, we had communion. We communion every week. But we had communion the very last thing. The first time I went to visit a church that had communion before the preacher came up, I thought I'd done gone to devil worship. Because they did not have communion last. And you could not have communion before the sermon. Well, the church of Griffith, when I went up there to preach, had communion last. And I found out. The reason was, when they had communion first, the deacons would all go across the street to the donut shop, drink donut and eat coffee during the sermon, and come back at the end. So that's why they put it at the last. I'm serious as can be. I am serious. Who do not know what they do wrong? Well, that's the sad thing, so maybe they better be listening to find out what they were doing wrong. Well, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be rash. That'll work. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter things before God. You ever notice something you can't take back is words? If it's spoken, it just keeps on going. So he says, think about it. Becky uses a word called your filter. Run it through your filter before you talk about it. Because sometimes you say, I didn't mean it that way. And a lot of times you don't mean it that way, but it sounds different. I asked one of my men in Lexington at a construction site, go get me a ladder. Would you go get me a ladder? He said, I wouldn't care to. Then he got in his car. You know, I don't know if it was the boys from Corbin.
Mike?
No, it was from Corbin, them country boys. Before I could say anything else, he got in his truck and left. He came back with a ladder. Because I thought he left because he was quitting because I asked him to go get a ladder. I said, you ain't got the ladder. He said, well, you asked me to. I said, but you said you wouldn't care to. He said, there's no care on me to go get it. I didn't bother a bit. Seriously. I'm going over my head and down the valley. Larry?
Every part of the country has things like that. I got down here, I was so lost. The guy said, you want a good oil change? I said, what do you mean I want a good oil change? He goes, well, you want a good one or a bad one? I thought, oh, I want some oil change.
You want a $9 or a $15 or a $30 oil change? Yeah, so think about what you say, because I was ready to fire the kid right on the spot. I wouldn't care to. Do you know what it sounded like? Well, wrong with Dwight. Do not be hasty in your heart. Let's not make snap decisions. Because so often, it is the wrong decision to utter anything before God. Well, if we're taught right, God hears everything we do and say. He sees what we do and what we say. So what we utter before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. All right, we've established that more than once. And we'll hear more as Jesus talks to us. So it shows that he has the overruling power. Let me give you one word. I'm going to give you one word. I want you to think for about 5 seconds what this word means. Government. Nancy didn't even think 5 seconds before she said that. Government. Huh? So see,
corrupt.
Joke. Expensive. And if you're working, if you're a G6 or a G12 or something like that, you say, well, the government, yeah, that's what pays my bills. Or the government's what keeps the snow plowed or something like that. Y'all still having snow out west, Robin? Aren't you glad you're here?
I don't. Yeah, it snowed on Sunday morning. I put in on Saturday.
So we can say the word government and all have different thoughts about it. Well, we have to understand that God is greater than government. And there will be coming more and more times when we're faced with that. And there will be more and more bills that are going to be talking about that. My state just passed. Or my home state just passed a heartbeat bill. First heartbeat means it's a baby. First heartbeat. So, and they passed a following bill behind that one saying that if the federal government, the Supremes rule against abortion as a national law, then the state's already decided there will be no more abortions after the first heartbeat.
Wow.
So sometimes the lay government works for us. You, let your words be few. You know anybody just talks incessantly? That's all I'm going to say. If I get that many laughs, then that's going to be all. I'll ask a question. I will testify the truth. Does anybody here talk to your television or your radio?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not the only one. I will drive down the road and people will look at me. Because I'm talking right back to that radio, shaking my hand at it and fussing, and it'll be to something. So what is something wrong with him? Well, the answer probably is, but that's not the question. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. As a dream come when there are many cares, I want to see there. As a dream comes through the multitude of business. Does anybody here ever have a dream when you've got a problem, you go to bed, we have a dream, you wake up the next morning and it seems to have solved itself?
Yeah.
Okay. But it seems like the mind is cleared out of the way, there's nothing going on, you're not distracted by food or traffic or anything else, and the mind says, okay, and you wake up the next morning and say, well, that's such an easy solution, why didn't I think of that before? Because a dream comes when there are many cares. So sometimes we're just given what we need to have. But he says, so the speech of a fool where there are many words. Well, there's a commercial, and I think it's about texting on the phone. I'm not real sure what it's about. But it has several different people talking at the same time, and it's hard to tell what's being said by any of them. You ever been in a crowd of four or five people just yakety-yakety-yakking? You think, well, what's going on here? Overwhelmed by it. Where was I the other day? That happened. Somewhere I was. I was in took the friends we had from Kentucky, went over to Golden Corral, and they put us back in the soundproof room. Well, now the soundproof room means everything is said in there, stays in there, just keeps floating around and around. Before long, I couldn't hear what anybody at my table was saying or what they were thinking. Just jumble, jumble, jumble. When he says, speech of a fool, there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. In those days, and even through Paul, remember Paul came back from missionary journey, one of the first things he did, he and the group with him, went down to the temple, paid a fee to complete their vows and had their heads shaved. There was a vow. They were going to do something. They were going to, until they got back with the money that they'd been collecting through Corinth and the other towns. And they kept a vow. He says here, when you make a vow to God, don't delay in fulfilling it. Now, I would like to have seen the if. Well, he's going to give us an if. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. God doesn't take it lightly when somebody promises they're going to do something for him and they don't do it. And a lot of people will make those empty promises. God knows what they said. He goes on and says this. He has no pleasure to fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow that you cannot fulfill. If it can't be done, or if you don't intend to do it at all, don't make any, God first, of course, but don't make anybody a promise. Promise me you'll do this. I can't promise that. Promise me you'll be there tomorrow. I can't promise that. I don't know what tomorrow will happen. When I make appointments to do service work, I will tell them simply this. I will try my best to be there between this time and this time. I don't know what will happen between now and then. Because we don't know what can happen between now and then. It could be an emergency or anything else. I hate to sit at supper time. She's not here. I hate to sit at supper time. Because if you've driven an hour to work, you got 5, 6, 7 more minutes. You can be done, or half an hour can be done, or you got to drive an hour back and an hour back and an hour back the next day. It's just hard to make some promises. That's why I don't wear a watch. Only times that count is 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, get ready for Sunday school, and 10 o'clock on Wednesday, get ready for church. Other than that, it all just falls into place. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. Do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. What does he call a temple messenger? Does he call it a... What verse am I on?
Six.
Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Have you ever gotten yourself in trouble by saying something? Well, of course the answer is yes, we do. That's what humans seem to do very good. Neither before thou the angel. And the word, see, here's one of those times we talk about the word angel can be messenger as well as the creature. That word translates both ways. Why? Because angels brought us messages. So it's normal that could happen. Don't explain to the messenger. Don't explain to the angel why you didn't do something. Si, are you voting or waving at me? Or
I just happened to recall. You may remember Reverend Leroy from the Church of What's Happening Down
There. Reverend Leroy. Flip Wilson.
Reverend Leroy used to say, don't write a check with your mouth that your body can't cash.
Well, there's a thought to that, isn't it? Yeah. Or if you don't even intend to keep it anyway. Because you know people whose words no good. Well, God knows them too. My vow is a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Well, now when Solomon asks that question, I guess it means God can be angry and God can destroy what you've been doing. Lord, if you'll give me a crop this year of 40 bushels instead of 25, I'll give you 10 of that 40. Well, I misspoke, God. I'll give you one of that 40. I'm not real sure that's bargaining with God that way is a really smart thing. Many such dreamers and many words are meaningless. Therefore, we stand in awe, and that should be respect up there. Going up to that one. Verse 7.5. But fear thy God. Stand in awe of fear. That's good. And see, now, that's another. These are so important by the two different verses that we're going through. Same word, same meaning, two different words. He doesn't mean fear as in. He's talking about awe and respect. You've seen sights in your life, I'm sure. It takes your breath away. Anybody been in Niagara Falls?
Yep.
Sort of takes your breath away, doesn't it? And to me, just being in an airplane looking down at the beauty or these type of things. If you want to get interested in something, look up Google Maps sometime and just go to a place like a desert and see the painted desert or look at a mountain area where the trees are all green or like Gatlinburg in the fall when it looks like a bowl of tricks. We can just stand in awe of what God's done for us without being afraid of him. We just stand in awe of it. He goes on in verse 8. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things. For one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are still higher officials. There's your word government again. That's what that is. Now, Jesus, of course, did not like the oppressed. You probably remember the incident where he took a cord and wrapped around his hand. I think this actually, we won't do it, it happened twice. It happened the first time he cleansed the temple, and it happened the last time, the second time he cleansed the temple, where he saw things that just weren't right. And he wanted to get rid of it, and he wanted to show people it's wrong. If you see the oppressed of the poor and the violent perverting the judgment and justice of providence, marvel not, because there are evil people. Let me give you one word to explain that. Just try this one word. Venezuela. What, 10, 15 years ago, had the highest, one of the highest, if not the highest standard per capita in the world, and definitely in South America because of all the oil they had. And look what's happened with the guy before him.
Chavez.
Thank you. Chavez is now the new guy.
Maduro.
And with those two men, they are wrecking the country and affecting thousands, if not millions, of lives. North Korea. And Chavez and Maduro as well. The soldiers are paid well. Because they're the only friends the government needs to keep them in power. Go back with me. 70 years. You ever heard of the SS? The German secret police enforcers? And the hundreds of thousands and millions of people that they oppressed? The guards that took the Jewish and the Polish and the crippled and all those that they did not, gypsies and all those they didn't like, and put them to death? That's bad government as well. Those things did happen. And as long as Satan controls this world, they're going to. But should we not be involved? We have funds within this church to help those in need. Chuck.
Yeah, you're talking about that. Adolf Hitler founded the Democratic Socialist Party. Democratic Socialist Labor Party. That was his party. He founded it when he was in prison.
Which means Nazis.
And now I heard the other day that Bernie Sanders is saying they were going to have a Democratic Socialist Party.
What?
Yeah.
We need to be kind to those who are in need. And if you're blessed, then you bless others with it. Because I truly believe God has blessed His children so that we can help others. I'm a firm belief. See if I can find the verse real quick. Nothing's real quick, I know. One page run out of lick. I thought it was 126. Somewhere, and I still think it's the 26th chapter of Genesis.
Yeah.
It is said, where's Sue today, Juanita? She's got it marked. Where it said that God will bless those who bless Abraham, God will curse those who curse Abraham. And I think, in the sentence as well, I think America has done well for itself because it did, has, and we can certainly hope, continues to support Israel. So, God tells us, it's there, Solomon's relaying it to us. The increase from the land is taken by all. King himself profits from the fields. So as the land, the increase means the products that are grown, the benefits of it.
12:3.
Genesis 12:3. Thank you. Who did that? Genesis. That's your middle name. It's still 14. Why didn't you have it when I was there? 12:3. Everybody write that down so next time you can remind me.
I got it up.
Which version?
NIV.
I will make you. No, I'm going to go back to 12:1. Can you back up 12:1? Let's get it all together. So demanding, I know. That's what happens when the front, they're on the front suite seat that's blessed with it. The Lord, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country to your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you to a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Of course, the last line speaks of Jesus. There's no question about that. But isn't that significant? That we do understand that God has made this plan. We're talking about Abraham that was like 2,000 years before Christ, 4,000 years ago. And I don't think it's changed. And I think that's why it's obligatory. That we keep up with Israel. Now, I found this out this morning. And my wife and I have a disagreement on this person. I like to listen to Judge Jeanine. She goes to bed when she comes on. Judge Jeanine has been taken off of Fox for condemning the woman who condemned Israel. The Muslim lady with the Hajid and everything, she's been taken off of Fox. Now, for how long? I don't know that punishment lasts. But I'm thinking, whoa. Huh?
Nothing.
Thank you.
What was that?
Whoever loves their money never has enough money. Good thing I didn't worry about food that way. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too, I'm in Ecclesiastes. Golly, we are doing Ecclesiastes. I'm right.
You're in the right spot.
This too is meaningless. He's going back to that word meaningless again. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. As they benefit, they are as a benefit they are to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them. So, is it almost like we consume too much? When you were dating, or when the first time you saw a Mickey D's at McDonald's, for us that was the same thing, dating at McDonald's. Do you remember what original hamburger cost?
10 cents.
10 cents. I remember 15. Fries were 12, a Coke was a dime.
Yeah, you want a large Coke.
Now, a McDonald's hamburger. So you had, they had an advertisement one time, two cheeseburgers, fries, and a drink for under a dollar.
Wow.
What would two cheeseburgers, a fry, and a drink cost you today? No, seriously, what is it? Cheeseburgers are what, a dollar a piece, maybe?
$0.69
On Wednesdays,
yeah.
69 cents. Well, Jeff's going to provide us all with cheeseburgers next Wednesday. So a dollar a piece, so let's round it off. Fries, a dollar, that's $3. Coke's what, $2 now? Or is it a dollar meal too?
They got a dollar.
So for $4. Well, are any of us making four times what we made when we were 16 years old? I would hope so. It all, you know, it's inflation. It just all goes up the same. Gasoline, all goes up the same.
Quarter in the glass.
Quarter gallon.
Quarter gallon.
Quarter gallon.
And a free glass.
And we got a glass from Shell. Green stamps.
Green stamps, yeah.
So, goods increase. The people who consume them increase. The world's gotten bigger. There's more population. That's right. We've lived longer, so we need more of the increase. Oh, folks, be prepared for your Christmas dinner and Thanksgiving dinner to be extremely expensive. Millions, millions and millions of tons of grain was destroyed this past week in Nebraska. And where's the other one? Who else got the flood? Iowa, Nebraska. Millions of cubic tons were destroyed. All the surplus of last year's crop is gone, they said. It's underwater. And they don't know how far it's going to push off the planting of the next grain crop because it's got to be dry if it didn't destroy it all. The barns are covered. Now, grain's gone, they're going to start selling their cattle real quick because they don't have anything to feed them, which means the cattle price is going to go down low, and all of a sudden it's going to come up high. It is all a cycle. It is all a cycle. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to harm the owner. Or wealth lost through some misfortune. So that when he has a son, there's nothing left for him. There are a lot of rich people who died not leaving anything behind. Because, boy, I tell you what, I got to check. No, they went through it. A lot of people with the .com, when the .com burst, they lost money. A lot of people made investments that didn't pay off. So he says, nothing even left to pass on. We go with this, but the word hoarded, I think, is the key word in there. Those pictures we have seen of that Black Friday in October of 1929, when the stock market crashed, it was a very minor crash. Truth of the matter is, it was a very minor crash. And people started jumping out of windows and all that kind of stuff. I asked my papa, I said, how bad did a depression affect you? He said, son, raise your own chickens, raise your own hogs, raise your own beef, had our own milk, own taters, cabbage, listed them all. Only thing we bought from the store was salt. We bought cattle salt and used it on the kitchen table because it was cheaper. He said it was 1933 before I knew there was a depression because nothing changed for us. We didn't have anything to lose. But the ones that were so invested and so dependent on that, it hurt them greatly. Solomon's saying that. Naked, I've never used this one in a funeral. Peggy, did Frank ever use this line in a funeral? Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and so he departs.
Yeah.
I never use that line in a funeral. I've ashes, ashes, and dust to dust I have, but not that one line. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. The famous commercial about a funeral ride. This is 25, 30 years ago. There's all these limousines and everything riding behind the hearse. And the very last one was a Volkswagen. And it showed him pulling a big trailer full of stuff, evidently because he had a Volkswagen. He inherited everything. I don't know. But you know, we came in with nothing, we'll leave with nothing. It's all about that dash we do talk about. He takes nothing from his labor that he can hold in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain? Since he toils for the wind, all his day he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. That you're just trying to get ahead. Sometimes you're trying to get ahead of what? Yourself. I would say most people in here set goals. Have you ever set a goal so high that you could not possibly reach?
Yep.
Or, on the other hand, set one so low that it didn't matter if you reached it. Sometimes we undervalue our stuff. Oh, I can't do that. We can't be there. I mean, honest to goodness. Honest to honest goodness. When, I guess, maybe you three sitting on that table right there talked about us getting a set of bells. You five, there's two more in the back. Getting us, First Baptist got a set of bells sitting up in the attic, and they're just corroding. We don't. They don't need them bells, and we can use them. I look around and said, "Who is going to use the bells?" Well, for long, spitting polish over there. Started cracking down and making people mad, making them feel bad, and grabbing people off the street. And the only reward she gave them was they got a shirt that looked really nice. We had to buy ourselves. And we got a bell choir. I don't know about y'all, but I think it sounds great. So you never know what you accomplish, because if you'd ask me, should we spend, what was it, $5,000, $4,000? I said, no. Preacher needs a new van. Let's spend it on that.
To me, the value of those handbells was the day Jacob picked up a bell.
Yeah. If you were not here Sunday, Jacob has four impacted wisdom teeth that they're going to have to sedate him before they can knock him out to pull him. Jacob's also been diagnosed as early Alzheimer's with children in the condition his
Down syndrome.
Thank you. His Down syndrome is very common for that to happen. I'd never heard of it. It's very common, but he misses us, and we think he'll be back once he gets this illness from the infections from the. If you ever had an impacted or an infected wisdom tooth, you know that, and it's a lot easier for us to understand it than for Jacob. But he does like the bells, and he likes that little signature chinky 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 at the end. So it's something that was that simple. We could have said, "Nah, we don't want the bells. Let them Baptists keep them." But it's become very, very helpful in our ministry, and that's what we have to look forward to, is what we can do to help others. I realize it was good and proper for a man to eat and drink and find satisfaction from his labor under the sun during those few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. We're supposed to work hard. Now, what do we figure out we're supposed to work hard? Huh? Really? Where?
Oh, it's okay. Thank you.
Where do we figure out we're supposed to work hard?
Always.
It's very simple, the answer.
My family.
Way before then. My family told me about how I work, but way before then. Oh, it's such a throwaway, easy question.
Wait, what?
Chuck? In the Garden of Eden. After the sin, you go out and toil. And it will be hard. Was it Genesis 3 or Genesis 4? Working on Genesis today, aren't we?
Yes.
Fall of men. I will put enmity in verse chapter 3, verse 13. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head. And the woman he gave her pain in childbirth. Verse 17. Because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I command you, you must not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though through painful toil, verse 17, through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. The ground will produce thorns and thistles. You'll eat the plants of the field. They weren't eating meat by then, we can finally find out. It happened after the flood. By the sweat of your brow, that's work, you will eat your food until you return to the ground from whence you were taken. Dust the dust, dust you were, and dust you shall return. So, Si.
May I offer a humble word in my own defense?
Please.
I saw my folks work hard before anybody ever introduced me to the book of Genesis.
I'll agree. Me too. But the book of Genesis came before our folks are 100 generations back. You're right. We've taught. If you were fortunate, you were taught to work hard by your folks.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who did not have that blessing, and when it got down to tough times, they go to college and have to work for McDonald's for $1.10 an hour. Saying, "I'd be at home doing better than this," you know. And they weren't taught it. Dad had a statement. Dad had a sign in his work garage: "If you have to kill time, work it to death."
That's good.
He lived by that. Verse 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, it enables him to enjoy it. You sit back and say, that's good. We did a good job on that. The food is good. We grew. Or the buildings we produce. Or whatever your job was, you should be able to stand back and have a healthy pride in that. Not that that's the end all to be all, but it is a blessing of that. And we have the power to do that. God enables us to enjoy it. He accepts his lot. And be happy in his work, for this, to be happy in work is a gift from God.
Amen.
I know. A bunch of us stood out here on this very spot, 2013, and started digging. Later on that year, we had a dedication. And it was beautiful of what we have to use now. Then when Jeff and his crew got together and put the... When did you do the remodeling inside the other building, Jeff? 17, 16?
16.
16? It's a fine-looking building. It's in the carpet and all the work was done in there. It's something to be proud of. Not that it's what makes the church, but we should be proud that the church came together and did these things.
Amen.
And when we help Samaritan's Purse... And here are the good work that they do on these tragedies, as well as Christmas time for the children don't have it. We should be proud of that. And with all the groups that we support, the poor, the missionaries, whatever it is, that is something we can take pride in, not because we're something special, but because we were allowed to do something special with what we have.
I can't help but think about this. The joy of the veterans when they got their warm clothes.
Well, give us a report.
Yeah.
You two do it.
I mean, as we walked in there and these tables were full of all the clothes people brought in, they were so thankful. Mm-hmm. And they wanted us to know, tell your people, we pray for them too.
One of the things we do for the veterans is take clothes, warm clothes specifically to them. And you all took a bunch of them down when?
Well, we had asked you to announce it, and you did in the following week. These tables were full. I mean, it was unbelievable everything people brought in. And when we took it down there, they were just so grateful for the cold days we had.
Yeah.
Because all they had was T-shirts and a pair of shorts.
Well, that makes a difference. And it wasn't, you said, well, that's no big deal. I haven't laying around, but it was a big deal that we took the effort. And you took the effort to take them down. That's what that charity is all about. When Paul speaks about it does not have charity, it is nothing. I mean, you all respond. I asked for baked beans with onions and bacon and had two bowls of it. And that one day we had 30 pies. I mean, we can help each other. It's a lot to be, and we should, that's thing to be very prideful. I'm not going to go into six because it gets into something. We'll get into deepness and we've only got 2 minutes left. Any other thoughts? Question for you. Would we have trade places with Solomon and not been able to change anything now? Not been, the wealth is all there and everything, but all the sadness and the I don't know. I swear, I think he's manic depressive. But all the things that are going through his mind, would you be willing to do that? To have had his wealth and the responsibility of being a failure at the king, a failure as a father, quite honestly. Would you have been willing to do that? You haven't asked that question, have you?
No.
Think about it. At least.
You didn't ask, what would you do with money if you won the lottery? It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but the problem with Solomon is he did a lot of wrong stuff, not just with what he did with the money, but how he handled his whole life.
A lot of things wrong, too.
Yeah. You think it's his fault he was too rich?
Yeah.
Did God make a mistake making him wise? Oh, that Nancy said that's a nasty question. Sometimes God just paints us where we need to be. You know what I'm saying?
We had a sergeant in our congregation in Indiana, and somebody made the comment one time that you can't take your money with you and you can't send it ahead. And he said you can send it ahead right there in that plate on someone. What he said.
That was a good line. That was a good yeah. There's a term called pay it forward when you intentionally go to help others out. And there's not a thing wrong with that. Because there's always going to be people less fortunate than we are. Either physically, financially, medically, emotionally. Charles?
She had me do stuff like shovel the neighbor's driveway out, things like that. I said, well, I have to go there and shovel that out. She said, you'll get your reward in heaven.
Did she ever tell you that every time? Connie, I will tell what you, Connie's grandson got a care box. What, is that what you call it, Connie?
Yeah.
A care box. Now he's over in Korea. He could probably buy anything he wanted to over there, but just the fact that people over here noticed something and sent him a care box. What do y'all call it? The care box. Just a veteran's, huh? A care package. Yeah, that it meant something because people back home cared. Thank you very much.